State has come out and claimed responsibility for yesterday's attack on a nightclub in Istanbul, in which 39 people were killed and 70 injured.
Let's go to some developing news. A customs computer crash affecting airports across the nation tonight.
And travelers at LAX were not immune to the problem.
You think Disney would be doing really well. The new Star Wars movie just came out, yet shares down around 10% over the past year, mainly because its big sports unit, ESPN, has been struggling.
You know, one possible thing that could kill two birds with one stone if they decide to buy Netflix.
For many of us, internet access is something we take for granted. But here on the island of Cuba, it's harder to come by. Under a new government project, they're having Wi-Fi installed in their homes.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10 and it is Tuesday. It's January 3rd, 2017. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day, another business year, another year two of The Opening Bell. If I haven't said it enough to each of you, thank you for making the first year of this program a wonderful success, and kudos over there to my producer Michael Heidemann for the welcome back. Both of us were on long vacations. It's good to be back, and good to be back talking with you, having our business conversation this morning. A lot of ground to cover today. A foggy morning in the Chicago area, and it's going to be a foggy morning for a lot of people heading back to work today. The fog of the holidays lifting. We'll give you some tips about how you might be able to better handle the new year coming up, and later in the program we'll be giving you some more help advice for your career and for your professional life in this coming year. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing solidly up 123 points after a day off yesterday for the holiday. S&P futures are up. NASDAQ futures up as well this morning. Crude oil is trading up almost 2% at $54.93 a barrel. Overseas markets this morning, Asian markets generally higher, as are European markets today. The dollar was higher against the yen and slipped against the euro. As I mentioned, the dollar, or rather a benchmark crude oil, $54 a barrel this morning, trading very well. As we look back on the year over, U.S. stocks slumped on the last trading day of the year, Friday, but the indices still posted solid gains in 2016. The final trading session of 2016 was generally a quiet one. The Dow came within 13 points of 20,000 in 2016, but retreated for then. Still, it was a very strong year for the U.S. markets. S&P climbed 9.5%. The NASDAQ was up 7.5%. The Dow was up more than 13% for the year. Max Wolf is an analyst at 55 Capital.
We think 2016 will remember it as a pretty darn good year. It beat almost all the major expectations. We even had the events we had feared and did well in the face of those. That's a lot of upward momentum.
The global economy has withstood a lot since the 2008 financial crisis, but some of the biggest tests may be to come this year with Brexit and Donald Trump. One of the analysts who's been looking at this is Justin Urquhart-Stewart. He's with corporate development at 7IM. He says Donald Trump should tread carefully, especially with China.
He needs the Chinese. After all, they're the second largest holder of American debt. He'd probably like them to buy some more and certainly not sell it. But equally, the Chinese need the Americans because they're one of their largest trading partners. They need them to be still buying Chinese stuff.
The first holder, by the way, of U.S. debt moved up over the holiday as well, right before the holiday. Japan now holds the most U.S. debt. Well, did you have a rough holiday? Was it sort of depressing for you? Was it? Did you have some concerns about the new year, especially with the new president-elect taking hold? Lots of people are nervous. Lots of people looking forward to this year, optimistically, too, for new jobs and also new things in their professional and personal lives. Dr. Bill Scheman is an author, and he is the author of Fulfilled. He's with us this morning on this first day of the new year, first day back at it. Dr. Scheman, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Let's start first with sort of that depression from the holidays that people might still be having, and maybe we can even tie that into some of the depression that people are having who did not support Donald Trump. That's a real thing. I know a lot of people who are a little anxious. What would be your advice on this first day of the new year?
Well, I think, you know, my father-in-law used to say there's nothing as over as Christmas, and I think it's the whole buildup that people go through personally, and also the stress of balancing out your work and life as you approach the end of the year. There's deadlines for work, and you're keeping an eye on the Dow as you're hitting the last few days of the year, and it's a very stressful time for people. So I think one of the things that you can do, and companies can help their people do, is take stock of all the accomplishments in the past year and think about those. Itemizing those is usually a good way to at least get off to start, because most people have accomplished something at home or at work or personally with hobbies in their life, and it's a good time to do that. And I couple that with, let's take a look at your long-term vision. That's a time to restock, look forward, and think about where do you want to go in the new year.
We will talk to how we can all reset for the new year as we continue our morning conversation with Dr. Bill Scheman, the author of Fulfilled: Critical Choices, Work, Home, Life, Rise of HR, Hidden Drivers of Success, all of that we'll talk about after we check traffic this morning. We'll take a break to check in with Mary Vandeville. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, some stocks, moving stocks this morning of local interest. We're watching Exelon Corporation, the parent company of ComEd, off nearly 1% this morning. The Kraft Company's off nearly 1% as well. One of the movers this morning, Equity Residential, up almost 1%. It's 5:18.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. U.S. markets reopened today after the New Year's holiday. The Dow, the S&P 500, and the Nasdaq all ended lower on Friday. Asian stocks were higher today as upbeat Chinese factory data bolstered investor sentiment. SpaceX plans to resume flights as early as next week after finding the cause of an explosion that destroyed a rocket and satellites in September. The company says its investigation of the September 1st blast found that a tank failed within the larger second-stage liquid oxygen tank. Fiat Chrysler and Google will unveil the latest version of their Android-based infotainment system called Uconnect at this week's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. The companies say Uconnect will broaden the smartphone's functionality, offering access to more in-vehicle apps. And Pizza Hut is kicking off the new year with a half-off discount on pies ordered online through January 9th. Customers need to click on the 50% off tile on the chain's website or mobile app. The offer is available for carryout or delivery. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with author of Fulfilled: Critical Choices, Work, Home, Life, Rise of HR. It's Dr. Bill Scheman with us this morning. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about depression, the stuff people go through at the holidays. Dr. Scheman, I'd like to use this segment to talk about how we all can reset for the new year.
Yeah, I think it's a great way. One is to just, whether you're a company or and thinking about your employees or you're an individual, look back to your vision. What's your long-term vision? And a lot of people have this fuzzy notion of the vision, and even a lot of companies, they have vision statements up on the wall, but how do you get more specific and make it relevant to this year? What are we going to do the first quarter, the second quarter, and so on? I think it's a really important part. And I'd say the second one would be take stock of time. A lot of us, we all have the same amount of time every day, but very few of us sit down and take stock of where is that time going, and is it really channeled to the things that are most important to getting to that long-term vision?
This notion of achieving professional and personal happiness, people who may be in a dead-end job are probably asking, is that even possible? And for somebody who left one of those to come to a really nice place, it is possible to find that, isn't it?
It is, and we define fulfillment in the research at the Metris Institute is achieving one's dreams and creating a lifestyle that brings exceptional happiness and inner peace. And that's a long-term vision. So it means, you know, what am I doing today? Am I taking that course this semester that I really should, that maybe at night to get ahead or get moved to a new field? Am I getting retrained? Am I taking a step with a relationship I have with someone that is really overdue? It's thinking about what are those drivers today that I should be doing that are moving me ahead. Well, there's a lot of distractors out there, obviously.
As we look for our goal and follow this goal of being fulfilled, how much does having or not having a toxic coworker sort of help us or hurt us along in this effort?
Well, I think a toxic coworker, you know, is always a risk. I think the issue is how do you work around it? How do you build support networks? One of the things people told us, nearly everybody that we interviewed in this study around fulfillment, regardless of whether they were millennial or baby boomer or Xer, they said we've had setbacks. 95% of people had setbacks. Sometimes it was coworkers. And I think the biggest thing that was the antidote to the setbacks was having a good network and friends, having at least a few really good friends, people who would bail you out on Tuesday night when you needed to be bailed out. That would be important because people need that support network. And too often they wait until they're out of a job and all of a sudden start networking at that time.
So as we move forward here, Doctor, how do we measure our success or lack thereof as we head toward fulfillment?
Well, I think it's important to put down some specific goals for the year, and that's one of the big gaps, by the way. You know, 85% of New Year's resolutions fail, research tells us, whether that's company, goals, or whether it's individual. And the key is to have good measurements. So thinking about what each one of these things, and some of them are qualitative. Some of them are thinking about a relationship that maybe is being stressed right now in your personal life and giving it a number on 1 to 10 and saying, where would you like it to be? Where is it today? If it's a company role, it might be accomplishing a certain level of quality this year or improving that relationship with a supervisor or manager. That might be so important. But the measurement is a critical part of having those goals because it provides some self-accountability.
In your study of the people who've gotten to the point where they consider themselves fulfilled, is there a characteristic of their personality or professional life that you see among all of those groups of people?
I think it's less personality. We find that there's a little bit of difference in personality, but really the bigger difference is that they've applied some pretty consistent things in their life. They have that vision. They have very specific goals. They review them frequently. They have measures. And they have a good network of friends. I think there are people who also balance out their life better. They think about making sure that what they're doing on the personal non-work front is balanced with work, and so they tend to be very productive in both sides of their life.
The other part of this, too, is having, you touched on it briefly, but and it's in your book about having a boss that's sort of on board with this if you're moving in a personal, in addition to professional. Having a company that, or an employer that agrees with this and sort of helps you along is important, too, isn't it?
It really is, and I think that's one of the big gaps we found is that companies, if they want to invest in their employees, could do a better job of helping train managers so they're comfortable being a coach, being a mentor for employees, because that's one of the biggest factors. People spend a lot of time at work every day. If that manager is helping you not only support the corporate goals but also understanding you as an individual, you'll find that they get ahead. We looked at fast food restaurants, for example. You think, oh, fast food, you got a lot of people who are kind of transient employees, but there are a lot of them who really aren't. Many of them stay. But it has a lot to do with the manager of that restaurant and how they treat their people.
So if we're on our own after we get your book, where can we find help if we run into trouble along the way? Because I'm sure a lot of people do, don't they? Dr. Schubert?
Yes, they really do. And my website has a lot more information. It's wscheman.com. But also, if your viewers would like to participate, share stories, share setbacks, and things they've done to overcome them, we have a Facebook page, and it's at fulfilled.criticalchoices.
Dr. Bill Schumann, he is an author, and he's the author of this wonderful book called Fulfilled, and you can find it on Amazon. You can also follow him on Twitter as well at W. Schumann, basically. Dr. Schumann, good to have you with us today. Thanks for the advice to help us start the year off on a good foot.
Thanks for having me.
Tech trends. Protecting your digital self when using public Wi-Fi. When you're out and about, public Wi-Fi is a convenient way to get out on the Internet. But with this convenience comes the warning from Jerry Bellinson of Consumer Reports.
Public Wi-Fi carries some risks, but there are a few things you can do to keep your data safer.
Steps such as turning off network discovery and file sharing. Settings that, when used, can turn on and can make it easier for hackers to gain access to your computer. Bellinson also suggests spending the extra money to get a personal VPN or virtual private network.
A lot of people are familiar with VPNs from their work because many companies require their employees to have a VPN if they're logging on from home or when they're traveling. People don't really know that you can get a VPN yourself for a few bucks a month.
Security analysts say most public Wi-Fi networks are unencrypted, which means hackers can use Wi-Fi monitoring programs to monitor your activity, steal passwords, and look at sensitive files. With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 536. You got a lot of credit card debt. You can pay it down in the new year. ABC News correspondent Dara Albinger with one of the experts' tips on this matter.
Maybe you've resolved to pay down credit card debt in 2017. Wallet Hub's Jill Gonzalez says a lot of people do, and it's their second New Year's financial resolution. She suggests using the island approach.
That's using different credit cards for different things. So maybe you have one for everyday purchases that hopefully you repay in full by the end of each month. Another 0% APR card for revolving debt, and finally maybe a 0% balance transfer card for your existing balance.
The typical American household has about $8,400 in credit card debt, and they want to pay off about $1,600 of it this year. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue is apparently President-elect Donald Trump's leading candidate to run the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This is according to a senior Trump transition official reporting to Reuters. Perdue, a Democrat turned Republican who founded a grain and fertilizer business, led the southern U.S. state 2 terms as governor from 2003 until 2011. In addition to Snap's public offering, a dozen expected IPOs this year, possibly relatively obscure software firms could break the thaw in a long frozen IPO market. Last year was not a good year for this, but this year could be different. There could be as many as maybe 5 or 6 and maybe even more of them this year, the IPOs. A couple of them are called Aptus, Tintree, Okta. If you've never heard of them, it's because they're more obscure unicorns from Silicon Valley. Startups valued at over $1 billion, though, and they, while they're not publicly popular, they are in certain circles, especially those in the tech community, those like Microsoft, Google. They know these very well. Tech IPOs in 2016 hit a record low with only 20 getting out of the gate, and many companies held back after some tech companies like Box and Pure Storage went public. So who are the unicorns with names that are so confusing you have to spell check them? Well, they are valuations, again, above $1 billion. They're enterprise software hacks, mainly. They're not Snapchat, but they will make a lot of money, could make a lot of money for some of those big companies like Microsoft. So we'll be watching the tech IPO market very closely this year. No word yet on what caused that outage with U.S. Customs computers last night at airports. The agency says officers started using alternative procedures to screen arriving passengers, international passengers, until the system came back online. Lines at some airports stretched for as long as 6 hours. Eric Singer and his family were returning from Portugal through Boston's Logan Airport. He says airport officials were not offering any explanations for that delay.
When anybody asked whoever was there for any kind of information, they told us to just be patient and get back in line.
The problem appears to be cleared up this morning, but there may be some residual delays. Generally, the holiday travel period was good for airlines and for passengers. There were some weather-related delays, but nothing major. So were you wondering how the retail sector did during the holidays? Here's some ideas. First of all, at Amazon, shoppers with the Amazon Prime merchandise membership had a really good year. They mainly bought Fire TV sticks, Fire tablets, Echoes. They also bought a watch, Amazon customers, every 1.5 seconds. They bought enough TVs to dwarf Mount Everest. That's how well Amazon did over the TVs over the holiday season. The TV, the hot TV, was this new smart LED TV. Also, the 4K TVs were very, very, very hot. The fanfare over the Broadway hit Hamilton also going strong. Amazon reported shoppers ordered enough Hamilton the Revolution collectible books and albums to give every guest at the Richard Rogers Theater in New York. Seats about 1,319 people. is where that show performs a copy for 96 consecutive shows. So Amazon had a really good season. There were some retailers that did not fare so well, and we'll be reporting on those as we move forward here in the new year. Well, there's new concern, as you heard Vic Vaughn say, about corruption on Capitol Hill. Behind closed doors, House Republicans, before they've even convened in the new Congress, have basically gutted the Office of Congressional Ethics. The independent body would now be under control of a congressional committee with the full House approval of the controversial move expected on Tuesday. Tom Fitton is the president of Judicial Watch. We've checked in with him this morning. He says the drain the swamp notion sort of has gone out the door. The Office of Congressional Ethics was created in 2008 to investigate allegations of misconduct by lawmakers after several members were sent to prison.
This thing was sprung up in the dead of night, and it's obvious it's something that they didn't want the public to know about because otherwise it would have allowed time for debate before they decided to make it harder to pursue ethics charges against members of the House of Representatives.
The critics of this say that the move also will clamp down on the release of public information unless it comes directly by a vote of the committee, by this new ethics committee. Here are some other stories making the news this morning. We're watching very closely SpaceX's decision to return to flight this week, early as next week, I should say, after finding the cause of that explosion that destroyed a rocket and satellite on a Florida launch pad in September. Los Angeles Times reports the Hawthorne-based company is aiming for Sunday, January 8th, return to flight. Launch still needs to be approved by the Federal Aviation Administration. The company says its investigation of the September 1st explosion found that a tank failed within the larger second-stage liquid oxygen tank. SpaceX plans to launch 10 satellites for Iridium Communications on a Falcon 9 rocket. Satellites will be used to provide mobile communication on land, sea, and air. Small groups of protesters blockaded some roads and gasoline stations in Mexico to protest a government price deregulation that sent the price of fuel up by nearly 20% over the weekend. One group blockaded a privately owned gas station in Mexico City's main boulevard, shouting, "The people united will never be divided." Reports on social media, local newspaper sites suggested small intermittent protests popped up at a half dozen other sites across the country. Gas in this country also moving up. We'll get a full report on gas prices, a full update from our folks and friends over at GasBuddy.com later today. But over the holiday, we saw it inch up by pennies every couple of days. It is 5:43. This is the opening bell. We're back from vacation. Mary Vandeville over in Traffic Central. Good to see you too, Mary. Did you have a good holiday?
I did. I had a great holiday.
Any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, come on.
No, I'm the same way. I know. Because I know I won't follow through. And I feel like following, like our first guest talked about, just sort of this path, you know, just have these goals all year long and you're probably less likely to break
them,
right?
And don't call them resolutions, call them goals.
Exactly.
And write them down and just check on them every so often.
And give yourself permission to fail.
Yes.
And then get back on the bike and keep moving.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a plan.
Listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:47 on this Tuesday edition of the opening bell on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are solidly higher this morning, up 149 points, almost a full percent. S&P right behind the NASDAQ as well, higher this morning. Crude oil is trading up almost 2%, $55.03 a barrel. Now, let's get the latest on commodities agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve, and welcome to 2017. Welcome to the first trading day of the new year. Last Friday, live cattle futures down sharply after reversing an earlier eight-month high. End of the year profit-taking and pressure from weaker wholesale beef prices. And the lean hog contract gained a little bit last week, but still, it was under pressure. There just wasn't a lot of trade on the last trading day of the week and of the year. The February lean hog contract did end higher, up $1.15, but the August lean hog contract was down 7. And in the cattle market, the nearby live cattle December that terminated Friday up 80 cents at 119. 100 weight. February live cattle down $1.97. What about the year in the grain market? Well, we saw the corn futures closing modestly higher on Friday, but down for the year by about 2%. The wheat market, firm on export data on Friday, but they end of the year down 13% in wheat futures as we continued to see a heavy amount of wheat around the world putting downward pressure on our prices. And the soy market Friday off thanks to some disappointing export news. But for the year, soybeans ended 14% higher for the year. We get underway with the Farm Foundation holding its annual roundtable gathering in Irvine, California, starting today. Next week, American Farm Bureau comes to Phoenix for its annual convention. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuels.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. From the WGN Chicago Weather Center, a dense fog advisory has been issued now. It covers the entire Chicago area, including the metro. It'll be in effect until 11 o'clock this morning. The National Weather Service says visibility dropping this morning as we move into the morning rush. Areas of dense fog down to visibilities down to a quarter of a mile or less at times, making for some potentially hazardous travel. Again, a dense fog advisory has been issued until 11 o'clock this morning. Also, as we close out the program, we talked a little bit earlier about this year upcoming, how it poses a lot of risks for the markets, especially with some of the activity in Great Britain, where we've been watching this Brexit story unfold, and that will continue to be an issue in the new year. One of the analysts who's been watching this says there is the potential danger for some issues to develop there, and it's one that could impact the rest of the country as well. The analyst says this from the Reuters News Service.
Negotiating those bilateral trade agreements is going to be a lot tougher than those that are positive on Brexit think. And I think it looks like it will end up being a bit of a compromise.
That's a senior EM fund manager for Somerset Capital, Edward Lamb, talking about getting out of some of the trade agreements that will be undone by the Brexit from the UK, impacting the US and other countries as well. Could impact US stocks later. Already we're seeing some employers say that they're going to be moving out of London, out of the UK, because of Brexit. And Mr. Lamb says this.
Fundamentally, we think that that's going to be positive for markets in general, basically because interest rates only rise when fundamentals are stronger.
Talking about the possibility this year of two, maybe three interest rate hikes by the Federal Reserve. And now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. This morning, the Institute for Supply Management releases its manufacturing index for December. The Commerce Department releases construction spending for November. Spending on construction projects has risen modestly in recent months. It rose 0.5% in October following no change the previous month. The increase reflected a boost in spending on home construction and government projects. Economists predict that pace will continue its modest rise from November. Also today, President-elect Donald Trump expected to testify under oath at Trump Tower just weeks before his inaugurations and lawsuits tied to his Washington, D.C. hotel. Also today, the 115th Congress will be sworn in on Capitol Hill. The House and Senate will convene at 11 a.m. Chicago time today. Later on today, we're going to see from the Journal of the American Medical Association a new report on bone fractures, including a less frequent dosing of drugs for patients with bone metastasis. They say, will not increase the risk of fracture. Those drugs will not. It's a release, a report that's coming out in full later this morning. Also today, two studies will be published focused on firearm violence. The studies take a look at innovative approaches to understanding and responding to firearm homicides, especially in urban areas. That's what we have on the Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. That's our program for today. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN. The Steve Cochran Show is coming up next, and we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. Our producer is Michael Heideman. Our engineer, Ben Cortez. Our executive producer is Mary Heideman. Sandra Boyle. Sorry, Mary. I know you're looking at me. Sorry about that. It's glad to be back, everybody, and see you tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful day.